January 7th, I had surgery on my foot. By Easter, I should have been dancing in the aisles. April 5th. I began this series on June the 6th and dealt with this scripture. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and lacking anything. Blah, 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 blah. Count it pure joy, my, you know, when you are experiencing troubles of many kinds. Blah, 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 blah. But I preached it. Having full faith and hope that we're just around the corner from full healing. Now we're at August 29th. And we're in chapter 5. Verse 7. Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. I'm hoping that is not a direct message to me. Be patient, moron, until God comes back. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You've heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. And above all, my brothers, do not swear, nor by heaven, by earth, or by anything else. Let your yes be yes, your no be no. Or you will be condemned. Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord is coming. You know, maybe that's a message that we need universally, to be patient. We're not a very patient people. You know, as I look back on my life, most of my life has been waiting. When I was a kid, you know, I couldn't wait for life to really begin, and what that meant was to be able to go to school like the big kids. And then I waited to get out of school for summer. And then I waited, couldn't wait to fall in love, couldn't wait to get to be 16 when I could drive, couldn't wait until I was 18 and became a real adult. It's 21 now. Couldn't wait to get married. Couldn't wait to have kids. It always seems that we can't wait for the next phase of our lives and we want it to kick in right now. Isn't that true? We hate to wait. We are the now generation. And there are so many things in life that test our patience. The driving of other people, supermarket lines, doctor's office, irritating people that seem to just flourish. So many things that test our patience. And then when our patience is tested and we go beyond our testing ability, then our character comes out, we look ugly, and when we're embarrassed, it's just a mess. Do you ever notice, we're talking about waiting, that the more expensive of a restaurant you go to, the longer you have to wait? Have you ever noticed that? You go to McDonald's, you know, if I have to wait, you know, three deep, I'm irritated. But if I go to Denny's, Tom serves me a little slower, but pretty quick. Not to say Denny's isn't the prime restaurant that you could go to. But if you go to Clinker Daggers, guess what? In fact, I've noticed that what you do is there are five different waits that you go through in a restaurant. First of all, you wait to get a seat. And if you're at Clinker Daggers on Friday night, hunker down and read a book. Okay, you wait to get a seat, and then you wait, once you get a seat, then you wait to get a menu, true? And then you wait to order, and then you wait to get the food back from the order, and then you eat and you wait to get the bill. Is that not true? And then they have the audacity to call the guy who serves you a waiter. It seems like I'm the waiter. Isn't that true? Today what we're going to do is we're going to look at what James has to say on how to master patience. We need patience in every area of our life, but in this passage, what James does is he deals with patience and perseverance six different times just in this short little section. And he uses three different illustrations to teach us when to be patient, why to be patient, and how to be patient. So let's dive in. When should I be patient? James isn't saying that we have to be patient all the time, but he is saying that there are three special times when patience really needs to kick in. Three special times. First, he says, when things are uncontrollable, when circumstances are uncontrollable, patience needs to kick in. Have you figured out that a lot of life is beyond your control? If you haven't figured that out, write it down. That there are a lot of things in your life that are beyond your control. You cannot keep your thumb on everything. James uses a farmer as an example of when circumstances are uncontrollable. He says in verse 7, he says, be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop and how patient he is. Here's a little clue. My grandparents were farmers in Oklahoma. Don't go into farming if you don't have patience. Don't go into farming unless you have an abundance of patience, because much of farming involves waiting. Waiting to till, waiting to plant, waiting to prune. There are a lot of factors in waiting, and there's also a lot of factors beyond your control in the whole farming process. You cannot control the weather. You cannot control the rain, the heat, the economy, labor practices. You cannot control governmental regulations. If you have a lot of faith, then you can be a farmer. But if you don't have a lot of faith, then don't go into farming, because it takes patience, a great deal of patience. Even in Palestine, where James is talking about, it wasn't they didn't have the best of farming land, and so they needed extra patience. And that's why James, interesting, he's, okay, I'm going to talk about patience. Where should I get the greatest example? How about a farmer? You need the patience of a farmer, because they operate in a mode where they know that they can't control all the circumstances that are there, and they are patient to wait on that to unfold. Now, how about us? Have you ever noticed that when we realize that situations are beyond our control, we still try to control it? Or are you unlike me? That when we recognize that things are beyond our control, that's almost like when we kick into high gear to try and control it even more. And how do we do that? By worrying. We'll try to control the situation emotionally through, worrying every ounce of strength out of this situation. Every step, we're going to worry it through. But to worry about something that you cannot change is not that smart. Or to worry about something you cannot adjust to is useless. Either way, the fact of the matter is we shouldn't worry. We need to exercise patience. But that's when patience needs to kick in, when circumstances are beyond our control. But secondly, how about this one? How about when people are unchangeable? When you're dealing with people, and these people seem to be rather unchangeable. When people won't change, when they won't make a difference. And what he does is he lifts up the example of the prophets. Now let's think about why he would lift up the example of the prophets. What do prophets do? Prophets speak to the people on behalf of God, and the prophet's role, their goal, is to transform people's lives, to change people. True? And what does the scripture say is an example of patience in the face of suffering? Take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Patience in the face of suffering. You want to talk about suffering, just study the lives of the prophets who were so frustrated in dealing with people who did not want to change. Now, I wonder, do you have anybody in your life like that who just, they don't want to change? Do you know how difficult it is to live with somebody that just does not want to change? Joyce Landers calls those people irregular people. They are people who only see their own way. They may never change. What are you going to do about it? James says you need to have patience. The word patience in the Greek is makrothumos. And makro means long, and thumos, from where we get the word thermometer, meaning it means heat. So it means long heat. Now, oftentimes, for instance, in the King James Version, it defines patience as long suffering. Literally, what it means is that it takes a long time for you to get hot. It takes a long time before you blow up, before you fuse, just explodes. If you're getting into success with people, then you're most likely successful with patience. You don't get overheated. James says you need to be patient when circumstances are uncontrollable and when you're dealing with people who are unchangeable and won't cooperate with you. It could be a relative, could be a coworker, could be a boss, could be a kid, could be a husband, could be a wife. When people are uncontrollable, unchangeable, patience needs to kick in, according to James. And thirdly, he says patience needs to kick in when problems are unexplainable. When you're experiencing difficulties that there is no explanation for. The classic example he gives, that third example in verse 11, you have heard of Job's perseverance. Job played in the Super Bowl of suffering, and he won the championship. All-time leader in suffering. He was the wealthiest man that ever lived. He had everything going for him. And all of a sudden, within a short period of time, he lost everything. He went bankrupt. His children were murdered. He got an incurable, deadly disease that on top of it was terribly painful. You think you've got problems? He had a rough day. He lost his family. He lost his friends. He lost his finances. He was suffering materially, physically, socially, every kind of way. And one day, his wife comes into him and confesses to him and says, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" Now, I think this is interesting, that's the support system that he was left with. God allowed the devil to take away everything in his life except a nagging wife. I mean, he's suffering, is he not? And the worst part of Job's suffering was that he had absolutely no answer for why it was happening. None. And for 37 chapters in the book of Job, God doesn't even talk to him and tell him why it's happening. There was no apparent reason for his misfortune. Of all people, Job had the right, I think, to ask the question, why me? Don't you? Life is not fair. Please write that down. Life is not fair. That is true. God never said that life would be fair. A lot of things in life just don't make sense. Maybe we'll never understand on this side of heaven why things are taking place. Are we content with that? The fact of the matter is there are things that happen, circumstances that arise, instances that take place, words that are said, that we just don't understand. and maybe we never will, until we stand face to face before Jesus and say, hey, you know, I'm just curious. What's with that no healing thing you got going on with my foot, huh? I mean, am I really that bad that I need that kind of character development? And all of you are going, yes, yes. Yes, yes, you can't see it, but we can, yes, yes. When circumstances are uncontrollable, when people are unchangeable, when problems are unexplainable, that's when patience needs to kick in. But why is patience the best option? Why be patient? Well, James tells us. The first is because God is in control. The fact of the matter is we need to get into God's arena and to recognize that God is in control. He says, be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. Three times in this passage, he says, the Lord's coming is near. Jesus is coming back. That's the ultimate proof that God is in control. Nothing can stop it. You know, in fact, the Bible talks more about Jesus' second coming, when he will come back, than he does, than the Bible talks about his first coming, when he comes the first time. This whole Bible is talking about God's story. His story. His story. And saying over and over again, guess what? God is in control. God is in control. God is in control. And here's the point. Though a situation might seem to be out of my control, when you are in a relationship with a God who loves you and who's leading you, and who is desiring to work in your life, has a purpose for your life, it may be out of your control, but it is not out of his control. Please let me say that again. That there may be circumstances in your life that seem out of control, people in your life that seem unchangeable, circumstances that are unexplainable, and all of that may seem to be just out of your control and make you feel all kinds of uneasy, scared, terrified. They may be out of your control, but they're not out of his control. You do know that, don't you? We all need to reiterate that in our souls, to say, you know, this seems to be out of my control and I don't understand it, but guess what? It's not out of God's control. And God loves me. God cares for me. And God is working with me. And guess what? His strength is sufficient. Job persevered. God's timing is perfect. He's never late. Some of you are experiencing a real delay. Some of us are experiencing a real delay right now. But God's timing is perfect. God is in control. That's why we need to kick into patience. But secondly, James also says, because God rewards patience. This is one of those James 1, 2. Consider pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, blah, 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 blah. Verse 11, as you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered, blah, 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 blah. Sounds neat when you're not in the midst of it. But there is a blessing to be had in the midst of persevering, in the midst of patience. That's the promise of God. We know from the testimony of Job, he elevates Job and says, here's an example. My goodness, your suffering doesn't rival his, Doug. And what was the outcome of Job's life? The second half of his life was better than the first. Job's blessing was even greater in the second half of his life than the first. God doubled everything that he had. It pays to be patient. There are all kinds of rewards that the Bible talks about. First of all, our character grows. You get along with people better. You're more happy. You know, and relationships are everything. And so as our character grows, so does our relationship quotient. God rewards it. There's a lot of benefits to being patient. You'll be honored by others. They'll say, here's a patient person. You'll even affect others by your model, by your example. But not just on this side of eternity, but on the other side. You know, God does say that, you know, what we do here matters. Here's what it says in Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me, because of Jesus. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. for so persecuted the prophets, they were before you, and they are blessed. When people put you down, when people criticize you because of Jesus, be patient, because there's going to be a reward in heaven. Be patient even receiving the reward. It's our natural tendency, one of our strongest desires in life, that when we're hurt, get even. Is it not? When somebody says something to us, to retaliate, to get revenge, to take matters in our own hands. When I get criticized, to criticize back. When I get insulted, to insult back. And to even one-up them. And what does Jesus say other than, somebody slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him to the left. What? How about you let God even the score? Let God be in charge of that. Let it go. Come on. There's a bigger scope to life than that insult or that critique or that harsh word. Let God even all of that out. There's going to be a reward in heaven for you for that. You'll be blessed. Thirdly, James says that it's important for us to be patient because God is doing something. God is in the midst of doing something, working out a plan. Often behind the scenes, things we don't even see. He's at work, but we don't see him at work. With Job, God was working, even though Job didn't know what was going on, what was happening. God was working. God was doing something, even though it didn't appear that he was doing something. If you've been praying for an answer to prayer and you haven't received that answer, don't think that God's forgotten about it. That's not the case. You just need to kick in with patience, that his time is not my time. Verse 11b says, "You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy." Philip Brooks was a famous pastor of the last century, and one day he was in his office pacing the floor, and he was frustrated, and somebody walked in and said, "Pastor, what's the matter?" And he says, "I'm in a hurry, and God isn't." Oh, that's frustrating. When your timetable is not God's timetable. God says, be patient because I'm working things out. And while I'm waiting, God is working. You need to remember that your hands may be tied and your situation may seem to be stalled, but the fact of the matter is God is working. That's what it's like to live a life of faith, to know that God is in control and God is doing something. In advance, thank God because he's working things out. He gives the example of the farmer. When the farmer plants the seed, he's waiting for the seed to blossom. But there is a process that's going on as he's waiting, is it not? And then one day he sees the fruit, but in the meantime, there has been activity going on that is beyond his sight. And that's what James is illustrating here, saying you need to be like the farmer and be patient. Now, while the farmer waits, he's also preparing. He's preparing for the benefit that's going to come from his waiting, from the fruit of God's labor. Philippians chapter 2 says, God is at work within you. Maybe you can't see it, but he is. That's what we say by faith, because the word of God says it. Romans 8:28, we know that in all things God is working all things out for our good. In every circumstance in your life, God is working. Be patient. Now, I don't know what kind of problem you have this week. You know mine. I don't know yours right now. But I'm betting that patience is a part of that. That it could be a circumstance that's out of your control. It could be a person in your life that you're deeply concerned about, that you feel helpless with. Or it could be that you're experiencing difficulties that you have no answer. There is no answer to the why question. And you need patience to be kicking in. What are you supposed to be doing while you're waiting on God? That's what we want to close with today. What is God wanting for us to do as we're waiting on God? Well, we look at the farmer. What did the farmer do? First of all, here's what he did. He waited expectantly. We need to wait expectantly. I must expect a harvest. I must expect that God is going to answer my need. I must believe that God is going to do the right thing. What does a farmer do when he's waiting on God? He didn't sit and watch reruns all day. He's preparing for the harvest so that he's ready. Waiting is preparing expectantly for God to work in your life. Psalm 130 says, I wait expectantly, trusting God to help, for he has promised. What are you waiting for from God? Maybe, you know, it's to heal a long-term illness, or maybe it's to transform your marriage, or maybe it's to reverse your financial difficulties, or maybe it's waiting for God to touch your teenager for Christ. It could be a variety of different things. Do you really expect him to do that? The Bible says, according to your faith, it will be done. Faith is expecting God to work and being patient in the meantime. What are you going to do to get ready for the blessing that God is going to give? Are you preparing for the answer? If the answer came today, would you be ready? How can I prepare? You know, there's a lot of times when I'm waiting on God and I finally figure out that God's waiting on me. Waiting on me to have a heart that's ready to receive the answer, to embrace the blessing. Jesus waited 30 years before he began his ministry. 30 years of preparation that took place before Jesus launched into 3 years. Isaiah 49, the Lord says, no one who waits for my help will be disappointed. So wait expectantly. Secondly, what the farmer shows us is to wait quietly. James points out the fact that we have a tendency to run off at the mouth when we're irritated, when we're tense. I love this. In the midst of this waiting, he says, don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. Why does he talk about grumbling in the midst of talking about patience? How many of you grumble when you're impatient? Here's my life. You know, instead of rise and shine, I rise and whine. Right out, you know, my foot hadn't hit the floor before internally I'm whining about my position. It's called grumbling. And I don't want you talking to my wife about what it's been like for these 8 months. Just continue to pray for her. But I think this is interesting. In the midst of talking about patience, talking about don't grumble, you know, against one another. And that's what we're looking for. When we're in a difficult situation, when we're in an impatient situation, we want to grumble, blame, we want to complain, we want to whine. And he says, don't do that, don't do that. Heard about a lady who griped at her husband all the time. I mean, just daily, just at him all day. And finally, the guy died. And she put on his tombstone, rest in peace. And then they went and they read the will, and he gave her $5 and gave the rest of his wealth to his secretary. At which point, she went back and changed the tombstone to, till we meet again. She's going to get even. What happens when you get uptight, when you have patience that needs to kick in? When you're frustrated and things aren't going the way that you know, they're out of your control, typically what we do is we take it out on those that are closest to us. And that's why James says, don't do it. Wait quietly. Wait quietly. Lamentations 3 says, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Habakkuk chapter 2 says, these things won't happen right away. Slowly, steadily, surely, the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. If it seems slow, do not despair. For these things will surely come to pass. Just be patient. They will not be overdue a single day. Do you have a dream? Do you have a goal that you have in life? Do you have a vision that you believe God's given to you? God says it will be right on target at the right time in the right way. Be patient. You can wait expectantly, wait quietly, and then thirdly, James closes it out by saying, wait confidently. Job never lost his confidence in all that he did. When our outlook is bad, you look up. Micah 7 says, I will wait confidently for God. And how do you do that? You have hope. And hope is holding on, praying expectantly. Holding on, praying expectantly. When you've got a problem that is unexplainable, when you've got a person in your life that is unchangeable, when you've got a circumstance that is uncontrollable, then wait confidently God is working. And how do you do that? You sit still. You don't get nervous. You don't get anxious. You don't start worrying. Psalm 37, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. So here's the question for us today. Where do you need patience this morning? Where is it? Is it an uncontrollable circumstance that's going on in your life right now? Maybe it's a job situation and a boss has told you to do something that's beyond your control, beyond your ability, and there's expectation on you that you don't know how you're going to fulfill. Could be that you have a long-term illness that you're struggling with. Maybe you've got an unchangeable person in your life that causes you great grief. It's frustrating when you tell your kids something over and over and over again, and it doesn't seem to be sinking in. What is the situation that is in your life? Perhaps it's a cantankerous relative that just is driving you insane and that you have to be with way too often because you live with them. Where is it that patience needs to kick in your life? Remember what God has said in James. God is in control. It may be out of my control, it may be out of your control, but it's not out of his control. Nothing is beyond his power and his purpose for your life. And he has a plan for you. He loves you. He cares for you. And wants to work out his plan, his purpose in your life. God is working behind the scenes for a purpose. And that's what it is to live a life of faith. The privilege of living a life of faith is that discouragement is not a part of it. Oh, it threatens. And it's a temptation. But when we're focused on the God who is the one who is in control, then there's a quiet that comes over our soul. Let's pray together. I wonder if today, if you would just say, Jesus, I need patience. Help me to wait expectantly and to prepare for the answer while I'm waiting, to get ready for it, to act as if it's going to happen. Lord, help me to wait quietly and not to grumble and complain about my frustrations. Help me to not take it out on those around me, those I love. Lord, help me to wait confidently, to be still and trust that you're working behind the scenes. Help me not to get nervous and anxious and worried. But like that farmer, Lord, help me to plant good seeds and expect a harvest. Help me with that unchangeable person, Lord, that I love, but I seem to be helpless. Lord, you're not. Help me with that uncontrollable circumstance. Help me to be patient with that unexplained problem, Lord. Fill me with your grace. Lord, we are sponges, desiring to drink in your water of grace. Fill us so that we are a people of peace. Peace, a people of calm, people of trust, people of faith, people of confidence, people of hope. So we lay it into your hands, Lord. Whatever it is that is our concern right now, we lay it into your hands, literally. And leave it there. We trust you. All in the name of Jesus. Amen.